Do you have lesson number 7? Anyone doesn't have lesson number 7? This is going to sound kind of familiar to a previous lesson, but it is different. And turn in your Bibles to Colossians 3 and verse 4, or it is printed way at the bottom of your sheet if you can't find Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. If you're new to this course, it's called Deeper Things, and there's about 40 lessons we're going to get through. I don't know how long that'll take. We don't have to do them every week, but there's one notebook left over there you can have. And then the big blue notebook over there to my left has all the first 6 lessons in it. If you don't have those and you want to get the first 6 lessons and take them with you, just dig through that big blue notebook over there to my left. C.T. Studd was a great missionary who spent 40 years of his life. He walked away from sports. He was a hero in England back in his days in the sport of cricket, which was very, very popular. He was one of the best ever. In fact, his statistics are still spoken about from his accomplishment as a cricket player. He was so amazing. But he walked away from all of it and became a missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was asked why, and of course he wrote a long poem, and part of that poem were these words: "One life 'twill soon be past, only what is done for Christ will last." And he spent 40 years on the mission field. Think of that, 40 years in India, China, and Africa. 11 of those years he spent completely separated from his wife, who was back in England working, making money, sending the money to him to support him in his missionary endeavors. Can you imagine a couple that devoted to the advancing of the kingdom of God, that his wife would be willing to do that and he'd be willing to be apart from her for that long? Boy, God blessed him, and we still remember him today, and probably every missionary today has heard of C.T. Studd. You might want to look him up, study him. There's some good stuff out there. C period T period Studd, S-T-U-D-D. And what a missionary for 40 years. But that was his reason for living: Christ. For me to live is Christ, Paul said. And notice now what Paul says in Colossians 3 and verse 4. In the Bible, our Bible passage for this lesson called The Reason for Everything. That's lesson 7, The Reason for Everything. We want to look deeper into that. This verse tells us what that should be for us. Colossians 3:4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Now the second half of the verse is a wonderful promise. Christ is going to appear again someday. Amen. That's not what our subject tonight, though. And another great part of that second verse is what? "And we shall appear with him." Boy, there's some good news tonight. Christ is going to appear someday soon. He has promised. And then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Isn't that great? I mean, I know that's doctrine we probably all know that are here tonight, but let's not get used to it. Let us just rejoice and look forward to the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to appear someday, and we're going to appear with him and be with him forever in glory. But the first part of the verse answers our first question. Our first question on our notes is this: in one word, what is life all about? Now, it's easy to get this answer, but it's kind of hard to live it. When Christ, who is our life. When Christ, who is our life. All right, like C.T. Studd said. In one word, what is life all about? Christ. Okay, Christ. And we're going to try to look at that here this evening. We've already learned in a previous lesson that all things were made by him and for him. That would include you. We've already been through that. That would include me. I was made by Christ, and I was made for Christ. So Christ should be my reason for everything. Now, this is just simply a lesson tonight on kind of an attitude change. An attitude change. If you ask people, why do you work every day? Well, I got to pay my bills, and I got to pay my debts, and I got to put my kids through college, and I got to pay the mortgage and the utilities and the insurances, and so I work because I got to do those things. That's one person's attitude. Another person could say, I work because Christ told me, as a man, I should supply and provide for my wife and children. In fact, if I don't, I've denied the faith. I'm worse than an infidel. And I work because Christ told me. And this is what Christ has me doing in my life. I've said this before. In fact, if you read down through the end of the chapter in Colossians 3, and also look over at the book of Ephesians, the Bible tells us that if where you work, men, is the perfect will of God for your is for Christ, you are just as much as in the perfect will of God than I ever was when I was a pastor. Okay, there's no difference. I did what I did because of Christ. And hopefully you go to work and say, I'm working today because this is what Christ wants me as a man to do. He is the reason for everything. Maybe a wife or a mother tonight would say, well, what do? I'm a wife and a mother. Why do you do that? Well, because I married this guy and I had a bunch of kids and I got to take care of them and everything. That's good. That's good. But a better attitude would be because this is what Christ wants me to be. Christ wants me to be this man's wife. And I am going to take care of him because that's what Christ wants me to do. And that's what Christ told me to do in the Bible. And that's my reason for being a wife. And I am a mother to these children, and I'm trying to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord with my husband's help, but I'm to guide the house, and I'm to guard the house. Keepers at home means guard the house. She's supposed to guide the house in the absence of the man who's out to work. And she should say, I try to take care of him because I'm his wife. No, she should say, my attitude, my reason for everything is I'm taking care of this man because that's what Christ gave me to do in my life. I'm taking care of these children because that's what Christ gave me to do, and he's the reason. And boy, to me, that just makes life easier. Easier because sometimes it's hard, depending on what a husband's like, for a wife to take care of him, or for a husband maybe to take care of his wife or the children or whatever, and there's great difficulty. But if our reason for everything, I'm doing this because this is what Christ has me to do in my life. That would be the right attitude and the reason for everything. If somebody's single, why are you single? How come you're not married? Because Christ has me living in this season of my life as a single person. So as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 7, I can attend unto the Lord without distraction. Without distraction. So as a single person, my reason for being a single person is for Christ. I remember one fella, we had a missionary here one time, and they had a 19-year-old son with them. I think I've told this story a few times. They had a 19-year-old son with them. And they were going to the mission field, or they were on the mission field. They were back on furlough reporting, and they had the 19-year-old, and in the process of their testimony, they said he was going off to Crown College that fall. And so I went up to the 19-year-old young man after church, and I said, now, what are you going to college for? You want to be a pastor, evangelist, missions? What are you going to study? He says, no, I'm going there to love God. He said, that's where the Lord wants me right now in my life. I don't know what's beyond that, but I'm going to Crown College to love God. He's the only one I ever heard answer that question that way. It's always like, I want to be. Why are you going to college? Well, because I want to this. No, the Christian should think differently. If they can't say, I'm going to this college because Christ wants me to go to this college, they shouldn't go to that college. And I can remember a few cases. I remember Mercedes' mom, Kelly, as a young teenager, saying she wanted to be a veterinarian. She wanted to be a veterinarian. That was a little bit of a head-scratcher for me. I said, okay, and she just said, I believe that's the Lord's will for my life. Wow. Brianna Dye has put years and years of preparation in study, hard work, for this moment in her life. Why? Because Christ was her reason. Christ was her reason, and now she's on the mission field there for a few months and maybe permanently. And boy, I've just looked now as life has gone on, and I could use many other examples, but as life has gone on, I've seen Christ in Kelly Torito and how God used her being a veterinarian to open doors for her that I could never go through. But she has gone on so many missions trips, and some of them are veterinarian missions trips where they go and teach other people in other countries how to take care of their animals, and then they share the gospel with them. Who would have ever thought of such a thing? And now Brianna can go to Papua New Guinea, and they're already building a medical clinic, the shell's up for it, and they're going to finish up the building for her to have people come, and instead of people from town coming one day a week, they'll be coming 3 days a week. And instead of being helped by Justin, they'll be helped by someone who knows what she's doing. And Christ is her reason for that. Why would a young lady like that leave America? You know what it's like over there? People tell me. Because Christ... That should be our reason for everything. Our verse says, when Christ, who is our life. And I've told her several times, I said, you know something, I'm going to pray for you that God will give you wisdom with every prognosis, with every prescription you write, and that God will teach you things you never learned in college to help people, to heal people, and so that their hearts will be open in no other way to the gospel of Jesus Christ than the fact that you're there. And many times in this Bible, our Lord healed people. And that opened their hearts. And they just started coming by the droves to Christ for healing. And in the process, heard the gospel. And many became believers in the Lord. Healing people, feeding people. I mean, everything we do, I mean, if it's, I don't know the people that well, but I like there's a ministry down in Guyana called Love, Inc., where in the love of Christ, they're getting, you know, appliances and clothing and all kinds of stuff and some counseling for people who are really down on their fortune. And that's the reason. And so many of these food banks, it's the reason is because Christ said, I was hungry and you fed me. It's all about Christ. Everything we do should be about Christ. So as a result, you know, I mean, some of the money we're spending on things Christ doesn't want us to spend on, we might be able to save and use for a better cause. And some of our time that maybe we're not spending for, like Christ would have us spend, if he was our reason for everything, maybe we would be accomplishing more by spending our time, our lives on our time on things that will outlast time, eternal things. And so Christ is our life. When Christ, who is our life, so everything you do, I mean, so, you know, would Christ want that? I remember, you know, a lot of people got their kids in sports and everything. Would Christ want that? Well, maybe he would. I don't know. But so much of that has taken people away from Christ. Been one big giant distraction for this generation of boys and girls. And I mean in Christian homes too. And I would use Christian in quotes there. So, I mean, it might be okay, you know, get a little exercise, a little recreation, whatever, learn a little teamwork. But people were learning teamwork long before sports were ever invented. This world did fine without sports. But Christ, the reason for everything. Now turn to John chapter 1 and verse number 4. John chapter number 1 and verse 4 and then verse 9. I think you should have both verses down on your notes. Let's read them both. We'll skip the verses in between. But John 1, 4, and then we'll skip to verse 9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. All right, again, it's talking about Christ here. And the next question is, what do you think the light of men means? Verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Notice that object lesson of light and how it brings life. In verse 9, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so I've written a little illustration down here, and I sure hope you can understand it. What do you think the light of men means? Well, here's my explanation. This refers to life's purpose, and that's our study tonight, the reason for everything. Let us illustrate. When it is dark out, now this is mostly true because we know some people have to work in the hospitals all night, got to keep them open, got to keep the police on the street. We know there's some exceptions, but for the most part, when it is dark out, most people sleep. There are very little activities. The stores are closed. The streets are empty. The neighborhood is quiet. Then the sun rises. And that's when you hear the birds chirping every morning. The birds are fine. Let me just tell you that by experience. The birds are doing just fine with the environment, okay? They're not troubled about the environment. I'm up like 4 o'clock every morning. They're up, and they are happy. And the rooster starts crowing. The sun rises. Slowly but surely, as the light comes on, the whole world becomes alive. So the light brings life. This is in the physical realm, and it's true in the spiritual realm, but this is just an illustration. People start to function in their purpose. When? When the light comes on, their life begins to function. A dad goes to work. A mom gets the kids ready for school. The kids go to school, and so on. Because of the light, the whole world comes to life and purpose. So there's a lot of things in the physical realm that are good illustrations in the spiritual realm. Christ called them parables. And it's the same thing here. I don't know if you've ever been up all night. Some of you maybe have pulled duty in the military, been police or whatever, or work shifts or something. And my neighbor, Micah, knows. I say, well, what do you do all night when you're there? He says, mostly sleep. And I said, okay, well, because there's not much going on. And I've pulled guard duty in the Army where, man, the whole base is like dead except for you walking around some ammo depot like this trying to stay awake. And there is nothing, but boy, the next day, man, the whole Army base is action. Life comes when light comes. And Christ is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And when he lights up your life, that brings a new life to you, a purpose for why he made you that you begin to discover. Because of the light, the whole world comes to life and purpose. Now, spiritually, when we know Christ, we have life. That life he gives us is the light of men. It is like the sun rising. We come out of darkness and start to function in our spiritual life for the first time. We begin to see what God wants us to be like or to do or to go. We begin to do what God wants us to do. Life begins to make sense. We live in the light, not in darkness and confusion. Purpose is only understood when Christ is our life and we walk in the light. This is how we glorify him, by fulfilling his purpose in our life. And so our verse tonight says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear in, with him in glory. It's the only way you can find purpose for why you exist is for Christ to be the reason you live. For Christ to be the reason you live. And Christ the light begins life in you. And a lot of you could give a testimony where you would say, boy, before I was saved, I never thought I'd be doing this. But now you're glad you're doing this. And you have found that purpose in life. And going to church three times a week, going to the Dunkirk Fair, talking to people, having vacation Bible schools, me? Before you were saved, you said, no way. There's no way I would ever do this. And now that life, or that light we found in Christ, brought light, just like the sunrise brings life to the human race. So the spiritual light of Christ brings life or purpose to the believer in Jesus Christ. And what a life. Notice in our conclusion, it says, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. But now notice this. And that they may have it more abundantly. See, light brings life or purpose, but not just regular life, abundant life. Now, what is abundant life? I've tried to explain this. I'm going to try to explain this with some worldly, not ungodly, but worldly examples of how people who are just kind of existing all of a sudden, at least for a little season in this life, go into abundant life. I remember back in 1986. Boy, they stopped the presses and they stopped the television and everything. Why? Because Jim Kelly left the Houston Gamblers to join the Buffalo Bills. Remember that? I remember that. It's all you heard about. Wow, the best quarterback on the planet is coming to Buffalo. And all of a sudden, life for Buffalo Bills fans, which was really terrible at that time, perennial losers, all of a sudden that news in one day made the life of the Bills Nation into abundant life. Does that make sense? All of a sudden, everyone's excited. Everyone's talking. This guy is going to take us to the Super Bowl. And he did four times. Remember that? Some of you remember that. I can remember. I used to be a Bills fan. I'm really disappointed with them now, though, and all the alcohol they're promoting, the gambling they're promoting. Now they're promoting gay. They got their own gay flag football, you know, which is just about, I don't want to get started on that. But I've pretty much lost any love. But back then, man, it was like just being a morbid Buffalo Bills fan, knowing the next season was going to be just as bad as the next, or the last season and the one before it and the one before it, and then all of a sudden, Jim Kelly! Do you understand how life all of a sudden became abundant life for the Bills Nation when that took place? All right, there's an example. I remember personally, I've used this one before, and some of you are probably sick of hearing it, but my life was just, I had a lousy upbringing, dysfunctional home, couldn't stand working on the farm, went into the Army. I loved my country, did my duty, tried to do my best, and I was a good soldier and everything. came home with no prospects for a future at all, and said to my dad, "Dad, can I come home and just help you on the farm with the business again?" I didn't want to do that, but I didn't want to stay in the Army and sit there and stare at machines all day waiting for them to break down. You know, I was like active all the time, you know, sports and farm work and that kind of stuff. And so that was my prospects. I was alive. I was existing. I had life. So Dad says, first Sunday I'm home, well, let's go to church. That's what we do. When you live in his house, you live by his rules. I go to church, minding my own business, singing the first hymn of the song, and a young lady walks in front of me and stands there and starts to sing. And man, just like, what just happened? And because it was a small church, you knew everybody in it except her. I didn't know her, never saw her before in my life. And, you know, so I'm kind of wondering through the whole sermon, what's this all about? And she spun around after the service was over, put her hand out and shook my hand, said, "I'm Leslie Thompson, what's your name?" And I shook her hand, told her who I was. And 10 months later, we were married. But believe me, that first week after I met her on Sunday, man, I couldn't wait for next Sunday. And it wasn't because of the preaching. It wasn't because I had a revival or anything. But life, for me, drab, dull, no prospects, all of a sudden went, wow. Does that make sense? Man, it came alive. I said, who is this? And I fell in love with her. I'm still in love with her. Almost 45 years later. And I've in that realm, I have been living the abundant life. That makes sense? When Bills Nation went to 4 straight Super Bowls, that was the abundant life of a football fan. If you could imagine that. And so I've seen people who just were like financially just dreading the future, not knowing what to do. And all of a sudden, a mysterious inheritance falls in their lap. I've seen this happen to people. And all of a sudden, whoa! You know, somebody, I know a dear lady in one of our churches who's just was in that situation. Just no prospects. It looked like she was going to spend the rest of her life till her dying breath without 2 nickels to rub together. And some aunt left her everything, including her house. And she had no clue that was coming. And she went from financial life, dread, how am I going to make it? I'm a senior citizen. She went from that to abundant life. Okay? And see, when Christ is our life, and this is so hard to convince people. People just got this idea like, boy, if I give Christ my life, I'm never going to smile again, never be happy again, never tell a joke again, never be able to do anything I want again, and I'm just condemned to a life of dread. No, it's the opposite. I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You see, Bill's Nation gets over that. And we don't have to get over it in marriage or anything, or even financially, or you get that new car or that new job or that pay raise or a big bonus or something, but that wears out. Those little illustrations of abundant life that we get a taste of wears out. Christ doesn't. You know, I've been serving him for 44 years. I love it. I still love it. And there have been a couple times, not many, but there have been a couple times where people say, "Pastor Cole, what do you do for fun? What do you do for recreation?" And I tell them, I don't need it. I honestly don't need it. There's nothing wrong with having fun or recreation, but I don't need it if I never had it again. Christ is enough. Christ is enough to satisfy me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's truth. That is truth. It says over in Psalm 34, and I'm almost done. Psalm 34, and I've got to get the old glasses on here. Psalm 34, 9 and 10. It says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Those that seek the Lord. Isn't that precious? There is no want to them that fear him. And again, I'm not, you know, against recreation or fun or anything like that. I don't need it. I really don't need it. Christ is enough. And Psalm 84, verse 11, tells us, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he hold back. So Christ, he's the reason for everything. And you, when you make him the reason for everything, when that's your attitude, and somebody says, why do you do this or why do you do this? Because of Christ. Because of Christ. When you honestly say that, then he gives you life more abundantly. More abundantly. And you just say, man, life's great. I don't care who's in the administration in Washington or Albany. That doesn't get me down. Christ is my life. And this is where he has me. And I'm going to enjoy it. And people have been maintained by this right attitude, the reason for everything, through health problems. And you just look at it and say, how do they get through that? Because Christ is everything. Christ is their life. C.S. Lewis said, in commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. That's not on your notes, but I love Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, if the Bills won the Super Bowl, there'd be joy for about a week. Then you're back to the old drag. You know, you're back to the old life, and, you know, I got to go to, and so on. But boy, when Christ is the reason for everything, it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Christ is El Shaddai, the all-satisfying one. It's just that so few people really try to see if that's true. And they're not satisfied. So it says here at the end, as an assignment for the next few days, say this to yourself as often as you can. I can bring glory to God by fulfilling my purpose. And what's our purpose? Christ. Christ. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? We tried to look a little bit deeper into attitude tonight. Why do you do what you do? When Christ, who is our life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that as difficult as this world is, if we do everything for Christ or because Christ said to do it, it just makes it a lot easier. And Lord, I think of that text that talks about the wives and the husbands and the children and the employers and the employees and everything, and how that if we do it for Christ, you'll help us in this life, but then you'll reward us with an inheritance in the next life for being a good wife, a good husband, good father, a good child, good employer or employee. And what wonderful promises.
And so I pray tonight in closing, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you would work in each one here to examine their attitude for the reason for everything they do. And I pray that it be for Christ. And we would taste that satisfaction. And people would see it in us and want it. And we could explain it to them. Our children would want it. Our grandchildren would want it, that Christ is enough. Christ is enough. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.